This is the Diamond Hogs Podcast with Mason Choate and Robert Stewart.
Hey, Diamond Hogs Podcast listeners, Mason Choate here with Robert Stewart. Need to let everybody know that if you want to listen to the podcast, all you have to do is search Hogbeat Podcast Network wherever you get your podcast, and that's where you will find all of the latest Diamond Hogs Podcast episodes. We made the switch, I think last year it was. So if you just search Hogbeat Podcast Network, you will find the podcast. If you search Diamond Hogs Podcast, you're going to get our old stuff back from 2022. So Hogbeat Podcast Network, it's HAWGBEAT.com. Robert.
And also, if you're looking to watch the video version of this podcast on YouTube, don't search it on YouTube. Look on hogbeat.com, as Mason just mentioned. You'll find it there. We unlist them. We mark them as unlisted because, ads, revenue, not important stuff. But bottom line is, if you're looking to watch the video version, go to hogbeat.com. The links are always posted there. You will always be able to find them. Again, HAWGBEAT.com.
Yes, Robert had it. That's the key word, HAWGBEAT.com, hogbeat.com. Search it anywhere. When you're getting your podcast, Hogbeat. When you're searching the YouTube, Hogbeat. Just go to Hogbeat and you will find it there, hogbeat.com. That's what it is. That's where you find all of our stuff. Thank you, everybody. Welcome to the Diamond Hogs Podcast. I'm your host, Mason Choate, joined as always by Robert Stewart. And we're recapping Arkansas's series sweep over Murray State. A pretty impressive series sweep over a good Murray State team. And the pitching, once again, was out of this world. Every Arkansas starter, double-digit strikeouts. I mean, we've got some numbers that we're going to read that, I mean, it's just incredible. And honestly, Robert, I was sitting at the ballpark this weekend, and, you know, there were a few times where I kind of just sat back from my computer and just watched to just appreciate what I'm watching, because it's incredible.
The pitching that was on display this weekend and has really been on display the whole season, like you said, incredible. It's, you know, we can sit here and talk about how good the starting pitching has been. But to limit the opponent to 5 runs in 3 games is nothing short of impressive.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that's like not even the most impressive stat. Like, some of these numbers are crazy. The Arkansas pitching staff recorded 50 strikeouts compared to just 4 walks over 26 innings this weekend. 1.73 staff ERA. Let's see here. Here we go. Over the last 8 games, Arkansas starting pitchers have allowed just 3 runs on 15 hits, including 3 solo homers, 8 walks, and they have a combined 0.69 ERA with 70 strikeouts. 70 strikeouts compared to 8 walks.
In the last how many games?
8 games.
8 games?
Yeah. Doing math real quick.
That doesn't seem like enough. Didn't they strike out 59 guys in Arlington?
This is starting pitchers.
Okay.
Yes, just the starting pitchers.
Yeah, so 12 from Hagen Smith on Friday, 10 from Brady Tigard on Saturday, 10 from Mason Molina on Sunday. So that's, what, 32 in 3 games alone?
Yes.
On top of what they did against Grambling State on Tuesday, on top of what they did against our opponents in Arlington last weekend.
Yeah, no, it's pretty incredible. I've got to pull up, actually, here, give me a second. I got to pull up the numbers over the past 2 weekends just for the starting pitchers. Actually, let me read the final scores before we get into that. So Friday, Arkansas wins 5-1. Saturday, 11-1 in 8 innings, run rule game. And then 5-3 on Sunday, the Hogs sweep them. And so here are the numbers over the past 2 weekends for the Arkansas starting pitchers. 32 innings pitched, 12 hits, 3 earned runs allowed, 7 walks, and 65 strikeouts.
How do you top that?
That's pretty freaking incredible, man.
Just the consistency. And, like, yeah, I mean, say what you want about Murray State. Honestly, a pretty good program. But they played even better competition last weekend in Arlington, and they still put up numbers like that. I mean, it's what we're seeing. Yeah, like you said, you should just sit there and enjoy what you're seeing, because this doesn't come around that often, genuinely. Like, You know, it's not unlike what Kevin Copps did in 2021. Obviously, you know, it's a multi-person effort, right? But you just don't see it that often. You have to appreciate it while you can. And I'm not sure that everybody grasps that, really.
Yeah, and you know, the crazy thing is, on Sunday's game, you know, Mason Molina's 10 strikeouts in the start weren't even really the most impressive thing from an Arkansas pitcher in the game. I mean, Will McIntyre threw 37 strikes on 43 total pitches. That's incredible.
Six balls and 43 pitches is very incredible. And
yeah.
Full disclosure here, I'm catching up. I'm watching the game Sunday late. I'm in the top of the ninth right now, so I've still yet to see Will McIntyre finish this game off, but I know it's coming, and honestly, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, while you finish that, I'll go ahead and read off what the people need to know, and that is that you need to visit hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com. That is the Rivals website covering your Arkansas Razorbacks. I am the owner. I am the publisher of hogbeat.com, and we cover all the Razorback athletics, football, baseball, basketball, those three. We do them, and we do a great job. We do high-quality work. I highly encourage you to visit that because that's where we're going to give you all the information, all the stuff that you would want to know on this podcast that maybe we don't give to you. We're going to give it to you on Hogbeat. We give you everything you need. Plus, if you subscribe, you can get on the Trough message board. And it is a great community over there, and we provide a lot of inside info, a lot of in-depth analysis, and some great commentary as well during games and throughout the week. So highly encourage you to visit it. And I also highly encourage you to visit the Bet Saracen app wherever you get your apps, because that is the mobile sports gambling partner of hogbeat.com. It is also the mobile sports gambling app of the Bet Saracen casino, or the Saracen Casino Resort, excuse me. But those double R props, if you would have taken the double R props this weekend, like say maybe, let's say Nolan Souza on Sunday, if you took that one, he was over half a hit, over half an RBI, then you probably would have made some good money. If you took that, hypothetically, you would have made some good money on the double R props if you took Nolan Souza on Sunday. So you need to get it. Download the app. You can only do it if you're in the state of Arkansas, which is where most of our listeners are. So download the app today, place your bets, but do it responsibly. Please do it responsibly. But thank you to Bet Saracen. All right, Robert, looks like you're tallying, you're totaling. Are we done yet?
No, but that's okay. We can start with Friday, because okay. I definitely paid attention to Friday's game.
Okay, so Friday, honestly, look, Hagan Smith had 17 strikeouts against Oregon State, and it was incredible. But you could make an argument that this outing was more impressive.
Yeah, I mean, to follow what he did up with 12 more strikeouts in six more innings and only get, I mean, what, the leadoff home run, right? He struggled again in the first at Baum. Maybe becoming a little bit of a pattern. I'm not going to put too much stock into that, but yeah, I mean, he bounces back and delivers in a huge way. I mean, he is everything he has been advertised to be this year, right? Obviously, it was disappointing to only see him throw the one inning in the opener, but his last two starts have been remarkable, and it's looking harder and harder to believe that he might fall out of the top 10 in this year's MLB draft.
Yeah, man. You know, it was, you know, I sit next to Andrew Hutchinson during most of the games, you know, friend of the program, recurring guest. And I told him like right before the game started, I leaned over and I was like, you know, Hagan's about to give up a bomb, right? Like, that's just how it goes. And he was like, oh yeah, 100%. Sure enough, I think it was what, second pitch of the game. The ball just kept traveling. Wind helped it a little bit. But Dave said it was basically a slap in the face to Hagan, and then he went and retired the next, 18 of the next 19 batters. He had one walk, and he retired everybody else, 12 strikeouts, only gave up the one hit, which was the home run, the leadoff. That was it. Incredible.
Yeah, he faced 20 batters and retired 18 of them. And so, yes, it was 18 of 19 after the home run. Again, What more can we sit here and say about Hagan Smith that hasn't already been said? It's amazing to watch every single weekend, and we're really just privileged to get to do it.
I know. And he's like, he's just way too chill about how good he is.
Yeah, right?
He really is.
He doesn't have the ego of the star that he is.
He does not. But I'll tell you what, though. He's got some ego when he's on the mound. He's definitely not opposed to celebrating when he's on the mound. And he should, dude. When you're, you know, Bubba Carpenter described it best. And I'm trying to think of what he said, because he was describing the way that the strikeouts are this weekend, and now I can't think of it. Man, that's unfortunate. But basically what it is that the opposing team has no shot. Like the pitching staff for Arkansas is just incredible, and the way that they're making opposing batters look, it's honestly quite embarrassing for some of these opposing teams.
It is. I mean, they're getting these strikeouts in so many different fashions, right? They're painting the corners. It's just like we talked about last week with Hagan Smith, right? They're coming every which way, painting the corners, breaking stuff in the dirt, high fastballs. It's, you know, think of a way to strike a batter out. An Arkansas pitcher's probably done it this year.
It might have been, he might have said non-competitive strikeouts or something like that.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I think that's a
Yeah, like a strikeout where like you just don't really have a shot. That's just the fact of the matter, and that's what it looks like sometimes. It really, I don't know, man. It's a thing to just watch and just enjoy, and it's been incredible. And you just hope that they can keep it up. And you know, the thing that's, you know, as impressive as anything is that they're winning these games almost solely on pitching, because they're still not really piecing together things at the plate. You know, Saturday they kind of did, but they got help from, you know, Murray State pitching kind of falling apart. You know, their ace came in, didn't do anything. I'm sure they didn't expect that. But either way, the bats in general still have not really come along yet the way that they would like to. Dave said after Sunday's game that he's not super impressed. But I mean, the pitching is just carrying them, man.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, like you said, and like Van Horn said, it's not an impressive effort at the plate, right? Like 5 runs on Friday and Sunday in both games. And I can say this confidently now because I have wrapped up the ninth inning. those weren't impressive efforts at the plate, right? Like if you're talking about a non-conference opponent, and albeit, you know, they do a good job of scheduling good non-conference opponents, right? They've made a point of that since the RPI cost them in 2022. It's still a non-conference opponent. You're still an SEC team. You're still a number two team in the country. You really, it feels like you should be putting up more than 5 runs in a game.
I will say, though, like Murray State had, you know, some better arms than you're going to see from some of these lower non-conference teams. Like they had most of their starters were pumping 90, you know, mid 90s, some of them. But then you had guys like Thomas McNabb, who we had on the show Friday, who tops out at 85, you know. But they were a good ball club.
You know? Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And credit where credit's due, right? They played well. It was a respectable sweep, so to speak, I guess. And at the same time, you know, I'm not gonna draw any judgments about you know, Arkansas can't get it done at the plate yet, because they still haven't faced an SEC team. And as you mentioned on the last episode or the one before that, even if they suck at the plate the first weekend against Missouri, take that with a grain of salt too, because are the Tigers really worthy of being an SEC program? Up for debate.
Yeah, definitely up for debate. I have realized that we have completely gotten off track of Friday's game, and people listening at home are probably screaming and pulling their hair out because we're not talking about it. So let's get back to it. We left off with Hagan Smith being really, really freaking good. So let's talk about what the Arkansas lineup did. So, Robert, they played at 3 runs in the second after. So Murray State had the leadoff homer in the top of the first. They were up 1-0, and then Arkansas takes the lead in the bottom of the second.
Yeah, they go down 1-2-3 in the first, but then it's sort of just taking what you are given, right? In the second, leadoff walk, infield single from Hudson Polk, and then Jason Jones. It feels like he had a really good weekend. I've compiled the stats. I haven't analyzed them fully yet, but it seems like that was the start of a really good weekend for Jason Jones. Of course, coming off the heels of the two home runs on Tuesday against Grambling as well. Good to see him get the RBI party going with that two run double, and then Peyton Holt knocking in a run on a fielder's choice that. Did it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a 6-5 fielder's choice. It was unconventional, but yeah, getting those three runs right away. I mean, we've heard Arkansas pitchers, Hagen Smith included, throughout the years talk about how important it is to get that lead. Right? It's so much easier to pitch with a lead, and you know, it only took Hagen six outs to get one, and he was cruising the rest of the way.
Yeah, and you know, it was really weird because that, you know, I feel like this doesn't really paint the whole picture because Murray State starter on Friday, Cade Vernon, he threw a really, really good game. I mean, that bottom of the second was the only time he really gave up anything. I mean, he went seven innings. He threw 99 pitches. He's not even their ace, and he threw like an ace. I mean, Arkansas really couldn't do anything with him aside from that bottom of the second.
Right. That was the only three runs he gave up the whole game. Quality start, as you mentioned, seven innings, very impressive. You know, got into a little bit of trouble with two outs there in the third, worked around it, fly ball out for off the bat of Hudson Polk. But yeah, I mean, like after that leadoff walk, he didn't let a single leadoff man get aboard. And you know, after the fourth inning, like he retired the last nine guys he faced. Nine up, nine down, innings five, six, and seven. So you know, if the Racers were able to do anything more at the plate, really, he definitely would have had a shot to secure the victory in that one. Very respectable outing from Cade Vernon for sure.
Yes. And then the Hogs, they did plate two in the bottom of the eighth. Unfortunately, our guy Thomas, he struggled. Look, that's a hard moment to pitch in.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it felt like the contact on the two singles wasn't necessarily excellent, right? He didn't get smoked. There was the situation where he threw over to first and felt like Kendall Diggs could have been thrown out at second as he advanced. Ended up getting credited with a stolen base, if I'm not mistaken. But then, yeah, I mean, RBI ground out, another ground out. Like he pitched fairly well. It was the two walks at the end of his outing that got him, but you know, respectable outing for Thomas McNabb despite what the numbers might indicate.
Yeah. Other last takeaway from this game, Gabe Gackel. So shout out to Cody Frank, first of all. Threw an inning and a third, struck out three, only gave up a hit. You know, Cody Frank has just been so consistent this year. You know, he struggled a little bit against Michigan, but, you know, there were two errors in that inning, I think.
Yeah, attribute that one to defense.
Yeah.
Above all else.
Yeah, but Gackel struck out five. You know, he's just electric every time he's on the mound. He's so good, dude.
Gackel got a bonus strikeout, too. Like, he recorded a strikeout with two outs, but the ball got away, and then he struck out the next guy, too.
Yeah. Yeah, man, he did good. He's electric, dude. He's the next great Arkansas freshman pitcher, you know? Like, the past two freshman classes, past three freshman classes, honestly, you could just keep going on. I mean,
yeah, let's definitely not forget about Smith and Tiger in 22, right?
Yeah, like, we're talking about the dudes who are the Friday, Saturday starters right now.
Right.
The way that they keep bringing in these dudes each year, Gabe Gackel is a dude. And yeah. Dave said, sorry to cut you off. Dave said before Sunday's game, maybe it was before Sunday's game, he said at one point on radio this weekend that Gackel did a lot for himself on Friday too. He's closer than anyone to becoming the closer, but I don't know if they're still wanting to have a defined closer. I think that they're okay with, you know, like if McIntyre, for example, on Sunday goes 3 2/3 to close it out, like they're okay with that too.
Right. You can't really assign any Arkansas relief pitcher with the label of closer. I feel like it goes the same way every year. That's just not how Dave Van Horn likes to operate his bullpen. But again, from what we've seen from Gackel so far, he is definitely showing the most promise. And for it to be in his first few collegiate outings too, right? It's remarkable what he's doing.
Okay. Let's move on to Saturday's game, unless we have anything else from Friday. Anything else, Robert?
I don't believe so. No, I mean, holding Murray State to one run. And you know, I can bring this up as a larger weekend takeaway and touch on it more later. But Carson Garner, who we talked about on the last episode, pretty much a non-factor. Struck out three times in the first game, including twice looking. Like, they couldn't even get him to get the bat off his shoulder. It was for a dude who's hit half their home runs, he felt kind of quiet this weekend.
Yes. I went back to look at Hagen's, anything else from Hagen's outing on Friday. He retired each of the last 11 batters he faced, and he struck out the side twice. Through 81 pitches, 54 were strikes. So, Hagen Smith, everybody.
And again, 81 pitches, that's huge, right? Because he's not wearing himself out. And
he's so efficient. He's been working so efficiently.
Right. It's encouraging to see that kind of stat line at 80 pitches and six innings, because you know that come later in the season, if he's able to maintain that kind of pace, he'll be able to go even longer.
Okay. Well, let's move on to Saturday's game. Arkansas wins it in eight innings, 11-1, a run roll, walk-off, shout out. I think it was Vahiva Aloy walked it off, maybe. No, it was Ross Lovich, RBI double. I remember. This one was better at the plate. You know, it was pretty crazy what happened to Jacob Pennington, man. The guy who's supposed to be their ace. I don't know if he like was sick or maybe they just had a great scout on him. I mean, Dave was asked if they had a great scout on him and basically said, like, yeah, but I wouldn't have thought, you know, six hits, eight runs. That's kind of crazy, man.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. I had talked about him and his seven innings of quality start the week before against ULM, I believe it was who they played. You know, I expected this dude to be, like you said, their ace. I thought we'd see him Friday. I thought he'd give the Hogs a competitive showing, but the bats seemed to come alive when it was most important. And you know, it wasn't just the bats were good, right? It was, you know, five of the eight runs he gave up were earned. So he gave up three unearned runs. It was also a matter of the Hogs capitalized on some bad defense from Murray State. They made three errors in that game, and they led to a total of five unearned runs. And Pennington really wore the worst of it, it felt like.
Yeah. And you know, we're gonna get into the exact scenario, but the crazy thing about it was when he entered the game, it was still scoreless. It was nothing when he came into the game. So so Brady Tiger gets the start for Arkansas, goes five innings, gives up one earned run, three hits, 10 strikeouts. Just another incredible start.
Let's address my bold prediction real quick, because we haven't talked about this yet. I said he was going to have a better start, or as good or a better start than he did last week. And there are multiple ways to judge this, right? I think he had more strikeouts. He didn't go as long. He gave up a run. So what are we thinking? For context, last week against Oklahoma State, six innings, six shutout innings, three hits, two walks, six strikeouts. This week against Murray State, five, three hits, one run, one walk, 10 strikeouts.
Here's what I think decides it. I think last week you could definitely say Tiger didn't have his best stuff. And this week, Dave said after the game, like, the breaking ball was as good as it's ever been. So I think,
all right, we'll take Dave Van Horn's word on this one. Yeah. I was correct.
Yes. So we'll go with that one. Yeah, he was incredible, man. He was really, really good. And you know, the game, it was a pitcher's duel through three innings. And then there in the bottom of the fourth, man, they go. So Bryce Valero was the starter. He got pulled. They go to Pennington. And we knew that when he didn't start on Friday, that Pennington was going to be the guy that they would bring in when it was a game that they thought they could win. And obviously, I mean, it was nothing. You think you could win that one. And, you know, it just did not go his way. Talk about that bottom of the fourth.
Right, and it's not even like he got hit around really in that bottom of the fourth. It was just the Hogs taking advantage of free passes and being opportunistic. You know, the first batter he faces, Jared Spagelot, singles to the pitcher. I can't remember. I don't denote this in my scorebook, and I probably should. I can't remember if it was a bunt or not, but that's a good way to get it started after a leadoff walk, or keep it rolling after a leadoff walk. And then a hit batter, and Jason Jones draws an RBI walk to open the scoring, right? Nolan Souza. Nolan Souza had a great weekend, starting with that two-run single to extend it to three in the fourth inning, right? And then what am I missing? Oh, RBI, not RBI, but a run-scoring double play off the bat of Ryder Helford to get it to 4-0.
Yes, yes. You know, we didn't even talk about the lineup changes for this game. Edmondson was leadoff, and he was starting in center, so no Ty Wilmsmeyer.
Which happened twice.
Yes, happened twice. Aloy moved up to the three hole. Didn't really work out again. Lovich was DHing, which I thought was interesting. Ended up working out.
He definitely delivered. Two for four, two doubles.
Souza, obviously, at second, ended up working out all weekend. So,
right.
Yeah, man, this was a good game. So they played at four in the bottom of the fourth. Murray State gets one back in the top of the fifth. Was that a home run?
It was Garner's lone home run of the weekend. Murray State had five runs all weekend. Three came on solo home runs, I believe.
Wow.
You can swallow solo home runs for sure.
And all of the solo home runs were hit off of the starters.
Yeah, Hagen gave up one in the first. Tiger gave up one in the fifth, and Molina gave up one in the second.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. But yes, so Tiger gives up the solo homer in the top of the fifth, and then Arkansas just scores five more in the bottom of the fifth.
Yeah. Bat around in the fifth. That's certainly one way to respond, right? Who got it going? Kendall Diggs with the leadoff shot in the fifth, right?
And it was the ultimate Kendall Diggs, just pull off the building and right, you know, like 340-foot laser.
Turn around to the dugout. Ha, 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 you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
What was that? Do it again.
I mean, you have to be
one. Do it again.
I'm, you know, full body camera would be better, but you can just watch the replay of the home run. Kendall Diggs running from home to first. Anyway, Kendall Diggs getting it started. Vahiva Aloy getting on base thanks to an E8. I don't remember that E8 exactly, but I assume the center fielder just dropped the ball. Ross Lovich, the first of two RBI doubles in that game. Jason Jones picking up another RBI after him. Change of pitchers again. Nolan Souza with the sac fly. And then Will Edmondson flipping the lineup, getting an RBI knock up there. Again, Will Edmondson starting in center field, leading off two of the last three games. You know, only 2 for 8, so not necessarily blowing you out of the water, but he certainly delivered in Saturday's game. Got on base three different times.
Yeah, you know, my thought when Edmondson was starting on Saturday was Dave keeps saying that Edmondson has been swinging the bat better than anybody since they've come back from Christmas, but I just haven't seen it in the games, and I really need to see it if that's going to be true. And I think that he kind of proved it to me over the Saturday and Sunday games. You said he only had two hits, but I thought that he was barreling up some balls. The two hits he had were very impressive. I believe both of them were over 100 mile per hour exit velo. So he is swinging the bat well.
I'm sorry about that. He had three hits. I have yet to tally up my stats from Sunday.
Okay, he had three.
3 for 8 is a lot more respectable than 2 for 8.
Yes.
125 yeah. points is a big difference, right?
Yeah. I think Edmondson definitely took a step forward. And the Wilmsmeyer thing is head scratching, man. He's a great defender, but he's not getting it done at the plate.
We have definitely seen how good of a defender he is. And the thing is, we've seen him show flashes of brilliance at the plate too. Didn't he drive five runs in one of those JMU games? Like it's definitely there. It just hasn't been as of late.
Yeah. And the good thing, it's a good thing and a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing, actually. It's just a good thing in general. They have so much depth, man. And Jones, with Jones, the bat coming along for him, he's definitely going to be in the starting lineup, and he'll probably be playing in left. And if Edmondson's swinging the bat the way he is, then he'll start in center, and it's working well.
Yeah. For what it's worth, just checked on this. Wilmsmeyer, the first weekend, hit .333. He's hitting .241 on the year, if my numbers are correct.
Okay. Yeah.
So he's definitely fallen off since the first weekend, is the point.
Let's finish off Saturday's game here. So, after Tiger was done after five. So McIntyre comes in and throws two scoreless, two hitless, 16 pitches, dude.
Two walkless as well, I might add. I honestly would rather have my pitcher get shelled than see him walk two, three guys in a row, right? I think a zero in the walk column is a lot more impressive than a zero in the hit column.
Yeah.
But that's my opinion and not necessarily something we need to spend time on.
No, I mean, it has nothing to do with McIntyre. He didn't walk anybody, but that's
why I'm impressed, is because he didn't walk anybody.
Yeah, but okay, whatever. Anyways, McIntyre was good. And then interestingly, so Arkansas played at two runs. Actually, we don't need to do that. So McIntyre throws two, and then Dossett comes in and throws the top of the eighth. Electric, dude. Dossett, we talked about Dossett on Friday's episode after he threw against Grambling, and he looked incredible. He comes in, they bring him in a weekend game that was already out of hand. You know, great situation to bring him into, and he just looked as good as he did in the midweek, dude.
Strikeout, ground out, strikeout. It doesn't get much better than that. I mean, maybe you're a strikeout person, you want to see three in a row, but I certainly will settle for that little ground out sandwich.
And you know, I was trying to listen to the radio and the TV as much as possible, and Bubba Carpenter was raving about Dossett. The movement that he had on his pitches, just even fastballs. Some of the stuff that he has is pretty elite. And so I think that he's definitely a name to keep an eye on moving forward.
Without a doubt. I mean, we've heard it as long as he's been at school in Fayetteville, right? The potential's always been there, and it feels like he's really starting to realize it so far this season.
All right, I'm going to send a new link.
Okay.
So Dossett had the great top of the eighth, and then Arkansas played it two in the bottom of the eighth via the walk-off two RBI double from Ross Lovich. Which, okay, so let's go ahead and – are we calling it walk-offs? Because we're going to have a lot of these run rule walk-offs moving forward, and do I need to put it in quotations, or can I just call it a walk-off or what?
Okay, here's my stance on this. I think it is a walk-off because – by definition, a walk-off is when the other team walks off the field because they just lost, right? You can clarify it, and I think maybe even you should do this. You can clarify it and say it was a run-rule walk-off because it wasn't tied going into the last inning, right? Which is what we're used to being the definition of a walk-off or being a qualification for a walk-off. But this is a different kind of walk-off. Doesn't make it not a walk-off. But it would be a run rule walk off. I think if you're looking to be specific, that's the best way to do it.
I'm cool with that. I mean, I put run rule in it for sure. So, yeah, that was look, by that point, Murray State was kind of going deep in their bullpen, just bringing in whoever. The dude, you know, Malik Pogue, who was in with the walk off. If you watch Outer Banks, you know, the Pogues. Did you watch Outer Banks, Robert? You never watched that?
I did. I know you were big on it and you always told me to watch it. And then with the thing with John B last year, I know.
Yeah, John Bolton.
I never watched it though.
Which by the way, shout out John Bolton for talking our guy Dennis Meters Bomb Squad for so he got off Twitter. I'm not really sure what happened, but apparently John Bolton down in Arlington talked to him, told him to get back on so he could keep supporting the Hogs. So that's good.
Good for John Bolton.
Yes. Good for John B. All right. Let's the last thing I had from this game was really just Ross Lovich stood out to me. Just another left-handed bat that can I guess, hit. You know, I was honestly surprised with Lovich because when I saw, look, he struck out twice in this game too. Let's say that. But also, I'll say I was surprised when I saw him at DH. I was like, of all the bats, you want to put Ross Lovich at DH? And he proved it, man. Shout out to him.
Yeah, without a doubt. Like we mentioned earlier, two separate RBI doubles, got hit with a pitch as well, ended up scoring on that time around the bases. Like you said, depth, right? The depth of this lineup, it feels maybe more significant than in years past early on. Obviously, we'll see how it pans out over the course of the season. But again, this is the perfect time for experimentation with the lineup. Maybe it's unconventional to go with Lovich in the DH slot. But like you said, he lived up to the expectations. And, you know, as long as guys are going to thrive in this first month of the season, like, yes, it's going to be difficult to make lineup decisions. And yes, you may see a bunch of different lineup combinations, but I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily. Like if more than nine guys are proving themselves at the plate, you know, it's going to be very beneficial down the stretch to be able to mix and match with matchups, you know, lefties and righties to put yourself in an advantageous situation, you know, against a team like Texas A&M. So, you know, it could be huge in that last weekend series against the Aggies, who, by the way, really strong so far this year.
Yeah. Yeah, man, there's a lot of crazy stuff that happened across college baseball this weekend. I dipped my toes a little bit in the Texas Vandy stuff, and then I quickly deleted my tweet about it because I was like, actually, I don't want to deal with this. So, we'll get into that later. But anything else from Saturday's game, Robert?
I mean, not really. Just another case of excellent starting pitching and really, really strong relief to follow. Again, okay. two runs allowed in 18 innings. Well, 17. Excuse me, two games. How do you get better than that?
Yeah, I know.
Really.
Okay, we're rocking and rolling here on the Diamond Hogs podcast. Mason Choate and Robert Stewart with you, and I want to remind you that we are brought to you by Hogbeat.com. That is HAWGBEAT.com. Visit it today. The Rivals website covering your Arkansas Razorbacks. A lot of great content over there. Everything you want to know, literally, like everything that we talk about on these podcasts, most of it is in writing form on the website, including not only that, but we also do football and basketball as well. So we have a lot of great stuff there. So I highly encourage you to check it out. Not everything is premium. We have a ton of free stuff. If you don't want to subscribe, you don't want to pay, that's okay. Just check out our free stuff. We still put a ton of effort into that. And would really appreciate it if you would support our work. And we're so thankful for everybody who does. And we're thankful you're listening to this podcast, which is also brought to you by Bet Saracen, the mobile sports gambling app of the Saracen Casino Resort. If you download it today and you're in the state of Arkansas, that means that you will get those double R props for that Tuesday game against UCA. Robert, let's go ahead and do our props preview. This segment that we definitely prepared ahead of time, our UCA Arkansas props preview. Let's go ahead and make up our own props that we would take for the game. I'm gonna take. Well, I don't. I think Vahiva Aloy is probably gonna get the day off. Give me Will Edmondson over half a hit, over half an RBI.
I like the Will Edmondson pick. Gosh, where do I want to go with this? It's tough to predict. Like, we don't know who's going to start, right? It's a midweek.
Yeah, well, the good thing is like, if they don't start, then the bet is voided. Like, they'll right. they do have props, you know, basically every game. Like, you know, Sunday, Ryder Helfrich over half a hit, over half an RBI. He didn't play. If you put money on it, you're just going to get your money back because he didn't play.
Right, correct. How about Jason Jones? Jason Jones seems like he's swinging a hot bat to me. I will. Let's go with a hit and an RBI. Is that allowed? Okay. Is that an acceptable prop? Double R prop?
Sounds good. I feel like if it's Jones, they might go over 1.5 hits. Is he swinging a hot bat? And they, I'll tell you what, man, they do keep up with what's going on because the props will vary based on how good a guy is doing.
What about an RBI and a run?
That's good. Yeah.
Because like a home run would satisfy that, right?
Okay. RBI and a run for Jason Jones.
Stay tuned for next week's episode.
Okay. Shout out Props Preview brought to you by Bet Saracen. Thank you, Bet Saracen, for sponsoring the podcast and for sponsoring hogbeat.com. Very thankful for the Bet Saracen people. Gamble responsibly. Please do it responsibly. Don't do it irresponsibly. That would not be good.
You're so wise, Mason. Hey, that was a pretty good improvised segment, by the way.
I know. I came up with that all on my lonesome. Right there. That
good work.
Easy. Okay, let's get to Sunday's game real quick. We've got to move a little quick here, Robert. We're running long. The people they're almost to work. Look, the commute is probably on average 30 to 35 minutes. We're running long here, okay?
All right. Let's wrap it up.
All right, Arkansas gets the win 5-3, basically. At the end of the game, Dave Van Horn said that he wasn't super pleased. He said they were fortunate to win the game. But, I mean, every starter had a hit, and Mason Molina struck out 10, Robert. What can you complain about?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't as good of an outing from Gage Wood as you would have liked to see for his first of the weekend. It was his first of the weekend, right? Yeah, it was. But again, Molina's rolling. He's that left-handed arm. To have a second left-handed arm pitch, you know, almost as well as Hagen Smith did.
Arkansas might have the best Sunday starter in the country. And that, honestly, that I look, I'd have to look, and I haven't looked around that much, but I really can't, you know, imagine that there are many teams that have a Sunday starter that's striking out, you know, 10 batters a weekend.
Right. And it feels like, you know, maybe we said the same thing about Hunter Holland last year. Obviously, he didn't stay as healthy as he wanted to. But I mean, what we've seen out of Mason Molina for 3 weeks is absolutely honestly special. Like the swing and miss stuff that he has, because what does he have? Like 9, 10, and 10 strikeouts through three games?
Yeah, I think that is what it is. Yeah.
And it's not like he's like going the distance, right? I mean, he only went 3 2/3, I think, in that first game. I'm looking at last week. Yeah, he went 5. So it's been consecutive games in which he struck out 10 batters in 5 innings. Like it's a very high proportion of his outs that are coming on strikes. The swing and miss stuff is absolutely there, and it's definitely going to be interesting to see how that plays against some SEC bats, because right now it's looking really, really good.
Well, you know, it did great against Big 12 bats, and the Big 12 is a great baseball conference.
Big 10. He played Michigan last week.
Well, no, I'm saying last year when he was at Texas.
Oh, that's
Tech,
true. You're right.
If we're talking about conference play, yeah, man, you go back to what Bubba was saying, non-competitive strikeouts. That's what Mason Molina is getting. I mean, just swords, and more swords. Like this dude he's so good. I was probably most impressed by the play where he. So Jack Wagner was the first baseman on Sunday. Jack Wagner had a tough day, and there was a play where Jack should have stayed on first and just let Mason got the ball, and Jack went to go get the ball, and Mason fielded it and then just outran the batter to first, and then like stomps on the ground, takes the ball, flips it over his shoulder, and doesn't even look back at the guy, even though he did do a stare down the inning before, I believe. And he just walks to the dugout, and that was the end of his outing.
Get you a pitcher who can strike 10 dudes out, still field his position, and have that much swagger coming off the field after it.
I did not know that Mason Molina had like this much swagger on the mound, because he is staring guys down. He does this thing where he has like, I don't know if I like it or not, but you know, like the face where it's like the duck lips that the girls used to do all the time, like the,
yes.
You know, he kind of does that. And I feel like in the setting in which he's doing it after he just struck someone out is probably really cool. But when you look at the picture, it's not as cool. But
fair enough.
Yeah, but he does pitch with a lot of swagger, dude. The stare downs are awesome. The flip over the shoulder was awesome, and he's really freaking good.
And exactly, that's the most important thing, right? Is that he's doing the things, he's playing the part, he is making it all, he's backing it all up, right?
And what's crazy is that he's the Sunday guy. And we talked about it earlier, but he is the Sunday guy. And so you're watching Hagen Smith, you're watching Brady Tigert, and you're like, this is incredible. And then Mason Molina comes out on Sunday, and he does just as good, if not better.
Yeah.
So it's really incredible what we're watching.
You've got such big shoes to fill after Smith and Tigert, and yet he keeps the bar that high, if not raising it some more.
And it's a huge blessing just in general, if you're Arkansas, just to have, you know, such a solid starting rotation. You have no question of what your starting rotation is. Okay, but let's keep going here. Let's recap the rest of Sunday real quick, Robert. Take us through the scoring, and then let's close this up real quick.
Yeah, so as mentioned earlier, Molina gave up a home run, issuing a correction on, not necessarily a correction, but a clarification on a previous statement I made. I said at least three solo home runs. There were four. There was a fourth that Gage Wood gave up in the seventh inning. But aside from those, you know, it was just a case of Arkansas got it done when it needed it to. It wasn't, again, not pretty. Like we said, five runs. How many hits on the day? 10. There were, you know, the innings 3 through 7 there, they left at least one runner on base in every inning, but the damage was done, so I guess it's kind of hard to complain about it, right? Nolan Souza getting things started with the leadoff home run in the third inning. Kendall Diggs keeping things going with a sac fly to take the lead, and then two more in the fourth. Nolan Souza again, his fourth and fifth runs batted in of the weekend. Makes himself a strong case to be weekend MVP.
Yeah, man, Nolan Souza was extremely impressive. Makes Dave Van Horn's job very, very difficult, because Peyton Stovall is coming back. He took some at bats this weekend. I think he'll be back probably by Missouri.
That's certainly what the broadcast made it sound like.
And so you not only do you have that, but Peyton Holt didn't play Saturday or Sunday. He didn't start Saturday or Sunday. He came in as a defensive replacement late in both games. But now you have Nolan Souza, and who can also play shortstop, which is notable because Vahiva Aloy, as much as I'm a believer in Vahiva Aloy, and I know he's going to get it figured out, he's just struggling right now. And maybe it'll take a game or two out of the lineup for him to figure it out, and maybe Nolan Souza can play short. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing to have it work that way, right? I mean, we've said for weeks now that Vahiva Aloy is on the Caleb Kelly arc, which includes a short stint on the bench. So, you know, again, what he did over the offseason, unfortunately, I was not there to see it myself. But you know, I trust that what happened, those numbers, they weren't an accident, right? They'll come, and it's good to know that there are backups in place, right? If Souza's gonna hit 3 for 5 in two games, throw him at shortstop, see what happens. You know, you've got more than capable second baseman to fill that void, right? Peyton Holt, you know, we don't need to talk about how good he's been for the Hogs in his short time in Fayetteville, but and after that, there's Peyton Stovall, and you know the same can be said for him. So it's a crowded middle infield for the 2024 Razorbacks for sure.
Okay, so Arkansas played two in the bottom of the third, two in the bottom of the fourth, one in the bottom of the seventh, and they went 5-3 on Sunday.
That was at least the second, and I need to check to make sure there wasn't one on Friday, but. That was, yeah, it wasn't. There were two different run scoring double plays in this series for the Razorbacks, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
You just don't see that all the time.
I guess so. So yeah, Gage Wood struggled. He came in, gave up three hits. He just didn't really have it. But somehow McIntyre, that infield fly. Take us through that infield fly, Robert.
Yeah, so this was fascinating. Again, I was watching this game on delay. At this point, I did not know the result of the game. But I was so captivated by what I saw, I had to spoil it for myself and, you know, look at the play-by-play to make sure I understood this correctly. But if I'm not mistaken, what happened is what, bases loaded, one out, right? A run has already come home to score. It's a 4-2 game.
I think it was 4-2 because okay, so yes, it was 4-2. Yes. Sorry. Go ahead.
This is a huge spot, right? Bases loaded, one out, the tying run is in scoring position. McIntyre gets the pop-up. The batter, before the ball ever comes close to the glove, for those of you unfamiliar with the infield fly rule, the batter is called out. Now, apparently, the racers were unfamiliar with the infield fly rule or didn't realize it was called, because as soon as that ball hit the ground, and, you know, it shouldn't have hit the ground, right? That's a play you should make. However, it's not important because the batter's already out, and you got a gift because the runners start moving because they don't realize the batter's already out, right? They see the ball fall and they think they have to advance. They don't. The batter's already out. They can stay put. That's why the infield fly rule exists. And then you get the old 2-6-1 put out for the double play at home. And McIntyre knew it the whole time, right? He was like, infield fly, infield fly. He knew it the whole time. There was never any question about it. Or there never should have been any question about it, but that, you know, again, another example of why you show up to the yard to see cool, unconventional plays like that.
Yeah. I'm trying to pull up McIntyre's quote because he was asked about it actually, and he almost exactly is what you explained. Here we go. He said, with his perspective of the infield fly, did it feel calm or hectic? He said, I didn't really think anything of it. I heard him yell infield fly rule, so a drop doesn't matter. It's an automatic out. But he said, but it threw me off when he took off for home, so luckily I had my chance to back up home, and the ball got to me, and I just made the tag.
Yeah. I mean, the play itself was unsurprising until the runners took off. That's a perfect explanation.
Yeah. Man, Will has really emerged as kind of a character. I didn't expect this from Will. He was kind of a quiet guy. We had him on the podcast in 22, and he was really quiet, man. I had to, you know, I was digging deep in the bag of questions to make the interview last like longer than 5 minutes. but he's emerged as kind of a character. He's phoning in the press conferences, and he's pitching really well.
That's good to hear that he's you know, being more open with the media, because that, you know, not that it's a struggle or important, right? But it was always like one of the shorter press conferences we had, at least while I was covering the team. And he's been there for a while, so I'm glad he's coming out of his shell a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Can we go ahead and finish Sunday's game? Are we done? Can we call it?
Yeah. I mean, there's not much else to talk about. There was the home run that Wood gave up, or no, McIntyre gave up the home run. I'm sorry. I said it was Wood earlier. I'm all out of whack today.
Lock McIntyre on. Did give up a home run, yes.
But again, solo shot, unimportant. Hogs ended up answering that run in the seventh with one of those run scoring double plays I mentioned earlier. And honestly, McIntyre finishing off 3 2/3 innings of one run ball, like you said, may have been the most impressive pitching performance of the weekend.
Yes. McIntyre, man. I mean, we talked about it coming into the year. He's going to be your bullpen ace, and I think he has been so far, man. He's been extremely impressive.
Golden Spikes campaign back on, just a year late.
Dude, they might have two Golden Spikes winners on this pitching staff. Co Golden Spikes Award winners, Hagen Smith and Will McIntyre.
And
or maybe one wins the Golden Spikes and one wins the Dick Houser.
There you go. It's always a possibility. Different voters.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to some random chatter here, Robert, as we always do here at the end of the show. Maybe we can go around the SEC, or we also have to do our weekend MVPs. Let's go ahead and knock those out real quick.
Yeah, let's do that. You start.
My weekend MVP on the mound. I gotta go with Hagen, dude. Hagen is so good. He was better than he was last weekend. I said it when we recap Friday's episode. I really think the 17 strikeouts is a really just, mind-blowing number. But the way that he pitched after giving up the solo shot was just non-competitive. That's, I keep coming back to it, but non-competitive. It's what it is.
Yeah. That's really all there is to it. We can sit here and talk about how insane what he's doing is, but it would just be repeating ourselves from last week. So, and a bunch of other episodes last season. Gosh, this is a tough one, right? There were many impressive pitching performances. Again, 5 runs allowed in 3 games. Really, really incredible. McIntyre with 5 2/3 innings. Maybe just because he pitched on consecutive days and racked up almost 6 innings across the two, I'll go with Will McIntyre here. 7 strikeouts in 5 2/3. Gave up 3 hits. Did not walk anybody again. By the way, 4 walks from the staff all weekend. And no pitcher issued more than 1 walk. So that's definitely something to hang your hat off if you're a Matt Hobbs and company.
Yeah, man. And they not only 4 walks, but 50 strikeouts.
Yeah, 50 strikeouts and three dudes had double digits. And McIntyre, McIntyre's 7 were the 4th most of any Arkansas pitcher, which is crazy.
And they still lead the country in strikeouts. I don't know the exact numbers right now, but I did see confirmation earlier that they do still lead the country in strikeouts after this weekend. Unless, I mean, like, I'm assuming Hawaii might play a game tonight, but I doubt Hawaii's anywhere close to where Arkansas is at.
I mean, I don't know how you're supposed to top 109 in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And that doesn't include the total they had against Grambling.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to go to hitters now, huh?
Which is my turn. I'm going to go with Jason Jones, man. He's got 10 RBI. 10 RBI on the week total, 4 on the weekend.
Oh, because he drove in 6 on Tuesday. That's right.
Yes. 4 on the weekend. 3 hits. He's barreling up balls. He's got some confidence. He's playing good in left field too. I like the way that Jason Jones is playing. He's starting to play like the guy we expected him to. And I honestly, left field is his job to lose now, in my opinion. So,
yeah, without a doubt. I mean, he has not played bad defense out there, and like you said, he's really come alive at the plate recently, and he's becoming that guy that was, the coveted recruit, right? He's really showing that potential. So, good call on Jason Jones for sure. I think I gotta go with Nolan Souza.
That's a great selection.
I mean, he didn't even play Friday, but he didn't need to. He drove in what, 2 runs, and by the way, he got pinch hit for in Saturday's game. I think he was a little out of hand at that point, but Nolan Souza driving in 2 to get things going there in the 4th, and then the Hogs sort of ran away with that game, but then driving in 3 in a 5-3 game on Sunday to secure the sweep, critical. I don't have the metrics on that home run, but it didn't look like he got cheated on it.
It was 398 feet.
He didn't get cheated on it.
It was basically a 400-footer. I was very impressed. We got to talk with him after the game, so it was his first media appearance. I was very impressed with him. Well-spoken freshman. I thought that he, the entire press conference, he just credited his teammates. He had no ego whatsoever. It was all like, I'm just thankful for my teammates and I'm thankful for the opportunity. So definitely a humble kid. And it's great to see the way he's playing, man. I root for him. And it's crazy because, I mean, how many other teams in the country have 2 Hawaiian middle infielders?
Right.
Does Hawaii have 2 middle infielders?
This is something we should look into for next episode for sure.
Yes, next episode we will look into it. Actually, any listeners out there, if any listeners have the time to look up if any other team in the country has 2 Hawaiian middle infielders, that would be incredible.
See, this is where we need producer Christian. Hope he's doing well.
Yeah, I hope he is doing well. Miss you, producer Christian. He sent me a picture of him listening to the podcast the other day, so that was good.
I'm glad that he was it a selfie or did someone take a picture of him listening?
No, he took a picture of him watching, like he took a picture of his TV and you were on the screen, okay. And I said, "What an idiot." That was
of
my
course you did.
response.
Of course you did.
Yeah. All right. Did you pick your yes, you picked Souza. Yeah, Souza, dude. Incredible weekend from Souza. All right, let's
three
go
for
around
five, five
SEC.
RBI.
Yeah, five RBI. Yeah. All right, let's go around the SEC real quick, Robert. Looking at some records here, A&M, the only undefeated team left, 11-0. But you're looking around, I mean, Tennessee's really good, one loss, Georgia, one loss, Kentucky, one loss, LSU, one loss, Alabama, one loss. Alabama's really good. Vanderbilt blew it. Absolutely blew it. Wait, no, was it Texas that blew it?
It was Texas that blew
it.
It
was Texas that blew it. Texas that blew it. That's what happened because I saw someone tweet. So it was in the top of the fourth. Texas went up 11-3, and it was a Texas fan, and they were like, you know, F anybody who said anything bad about this team or whatever. Like, we're the best team in the country. And I originally quote tweeted it and said, congratulations to Texas for winning the national championship in the top of the fourth inning against Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
but
see,
then I was like, I don't want to get into this.
That was the score I saw. So when I just pulled up the page and saw 14 for Vanderbilt, I was definitely a little bit surprised because Vandy, I mean, notoriously has struggled this year, right? Not an easy first weekend against Florida Atlantic, I think. And then, you know, when they're getting blown out by the Longhorns, I was like, well, yeah, that tracks. But it seems that the Commodores may have come alive on this fine Sunday.
Yeah, man. They scored I think it was 12 unanswered, cuz what? They were
Wow.
down 11-3 and they won 14-11. What is that?
Impressive.
11? Is that 11 unanswered?
Yes.
Okay.
At
Yeah,
least.
man. It was incredible what they did, but you know, Vandy still good. I mean, even dude, the SEC is just so loaded. We haven't even mentioned Florida, South Carolina, Mississippi State. Well, Mississippi State. Ole Miss.
Auburn beat UConn 8-2 on Sunday.
Yeah, man. The SEC is
UConn's
pretty
no
loaded.
slouch.
Yeah. So, I think A&M probably the most impressive around the SEC so far.
Without a doubt.
Tennessee, though. Tennessee has been really good.
I have admittedly made a few bucks on the Aggies this year.
If only they would have won me that future a couple of years ago.
If only.
That would have been awesome.
Hey, they were no match for either Arkansas or LSU. Or not LSU, Ole Miss that year.
Yeah. All right. Anything else to add on the end of this podcast here as we wrap up, Robert?
I mean, no. Not more than what we've already said. What a performance from the starters, the staff as a whole. I mean, Mason, it honestly might be worth reading those stats you read earlier again because, wow, just impressive stuff.
Yeah.
Enjoy it while you can because it's not going to be here forever.
So let me read through a few more stats here before we close out here. So Arkansas has won 29 consecutive non-conference home weekend series. All three starting pitchers, double-digit strikeouts. So you got 12 from Hagan Smith, 10 from Brady Tigert, and 10 from Mason Molina. Over the last eight games, Arkansas starting pitchers have allowed just three runs on 15 hits, including three solo homers, eight walks, while combining for a jaw-dropping 0.69 ERA and 70 strikeouts and 39 innings of work.
Wow. Let that sink in, right? You said three runs allowed,
yeah,
all three of which were solo home runs?
Yeah.
I mean, what more do we have to talk about here? Like if this even half translates into SEC play, I don't know how certainly anybody's gonna come into bomb and win a series and that'll get you to Omaha, right?
Yeah.
But this rotation right now is I don't know how you're supposed to produce offense against it.
Yeah. Not even the rotation, but as a whole, the Arkansas pitching staff, 50 strikeouts, just 4 walks on the weekend.
Yeah, that's an incredible ratio. 50-4 is what, 100-8?
Yeah, and we're talking about a pitching staff that doesn't even have Dylan Carter back, doesn't even have two freshmen, probably their two most highly touted freshmen, Hunter Dietz and Adam Hackman, who haven't even thrown yet, who are still waiting to potentially come back from injury. Same for Dylan Carter. Those are three arms who haven't even thrown yet, and you don't even really need them, honestly, but you're going to get them.
Right. They're already so deep. They've got more depth waiting in the wings. I mean, it's, you know, it. I heard somebody, I can't remember which player, but the broadcast was showing a clip of an interview with maybe Brady Tigard on Saturday, talking about, you know, hopefully we don't get bit by the injury bug that hard again as we did last year. But it really feels like they're going to be okay. They can suffer of even 2 or 3 losses and not feel too big of effects, I guess.
Yeah. Last thing I have, last two nuggets I have. Every Murray State batter struck out at least once this weekend.
Yes, that was a good one.
And Murray State came in hitting, I believe, 319 as a team, and they hit 111 against Arkansas starters.
Yeah, 319 as a team. That is accurate. Can confirm. Yeah, I mean, Hagen Smith struck out everybody but the 9-hole hitter, Logan Bland, on Friday. And the Murray State second baseman was able to keep that streak alive into Saturday, avoiding the strikeout against Brady Tiger. But Mason Molina got him a couple times on Friday, on Sunday, as did Will McIntyre one time. So, and all the guys, you know, who weren't starters, they also struck out, I believe.
Yeah. Pretty incredible stuff, man.
Truly incredible stuff.
I'm so excited for the rest of this season. I'm having so much fun. Super excited that we're able to share all this with everybody.
Hey, aren't you glad you didn't go to Rupp this weekend?
I'm so glad I did not go to Lexington, Kentucky this weekend. That is such a blessing. So, all right. The homestand continues for Arkansas, UCA. The Conway boys coming to town. UCA, we're going to look into UCA. We're not going to get into it right now. We probably should have. But UCA, very competitive baseball team, coming to town on Tuesday. So we'll talk about it on our next episode, which will come out Friday. So thank you to everybody for listening to the Diamond Hawks podcast. Thank you, Robert Stewart. And we'll talk to you guys on Friday.
You've been listening to the Diamond Hogs podcast. Follow the guys on Twitter @ Choate Mason and @DrStew32.